Welcome to the Marriage Adventure Podcast, where the journey is the destination. It's the highs, the lows, and everything in between. Well, hey guys, we hope you're having a great week. Welcome to the Marriage Adventure Podcast. This is the podcast that's sweeping the nation. Well, it's sweeping somewhere, I'm not sure. Our parents like it.
Yep.
Yes, they do like it. Yep. And this is a special Corona quarantine podcast.
Yeah, we are right now. This is actually a Friday that we're recording this. And this is the first day that marks the beginning of our quarantine for our school system.
Typically, our kids are at school while we record the podcast. But today,
not so much. No, they are starting their online learning adventure today.
We've all been thrust into becoming homeschoolers.
Yeah.
And home workers.
And home workers, that's right. So we're, it's going to be interesting. A couple of weeks home, you know, we understand the quarantine. We're very sensitive to that.
Social solidarity. That's what it is.
Is that social I thought it was social isolation.
Well, both. We're all joining together as a social unit to help.
To isolate ourselves.
Limit the spread of this.
Yes, and
virus.
We understand that. It's going to be interesting home for a couple of weeks with the kids and you working it from home and, and all that. But hey, we're going to make the best of it.
Listen,
we hope it helps.
There's people with, we know some of you guys out there have, it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're definitely praying for you guys. There's people that are out of work, people that are out of meals, and so we're praying as a church. You know, I know our church is trying to find out how we can help people that are in those situations.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know with a lot of people home and quarantined for the next couple of weeks, husbands and wives and children and everyone in the same house, and it might test some communication skills.
Maybe.
And we expect conflict levels to rise rapidly under these kind of quarantine situations.
I think we're
situations.
All going to gain a new appreciation for teachers.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we have always loved teachers.
Yes.
Teachers, if you're listening, we love you.
Uh-huh.
I think we're about to love you even more.
Uh-huh. So, but when we enter into intense conflict, we need to be prepared for a way to manage it. And you know, what is a quarantine for anyway? It's kind of that, it's that strict isolation that's imposed on us to prevent the spread of disease. And, you know,
there's a disease that's probably going to be taking place in our homes as we're all together a ton. It's called the disease of arguing. And we might need to have some isolation.
Yep.
When that happens, is that right?
Yep, I'm glad we have enough bedrooms to send everyone to their own.
And so we were able to tie today's topic into the illustration of isolation and corona. Isn't that good? That was a good tie.
Nice.
Good tie.
Nice. So today we're going to be talking about when you're in the middle of a conflict with your spouse or anybody in general, actually, and your temperature starts to rise and things get a little bit out of hand. How do you take a timeout?
How do you prevent the spread of the disease of anger? All right, this is a special Corona quarantine version of Lightning Round. So here's what we're gonna do. We have 1 minute to think of crazy fun things to do while we're quarantined in the house over the next couple weeks.
Okay.
We're gonna start with you, Josie. We're gonna work our way around the circle to everybody. You ready?
Yep. Go.
Make some dances.
We can play outside.
We can go for a hike.
Drink lots of coffee.
Camp in the driveway.
Go to the Silver Comet Trail.
Oh, that's a great one. We can make homemade pizzas.
We can put puzzles together.
We can make desserts.
We can play games.
I guess we can help our neighbors that are elderly get groceries and stuff.
Yes. We can learn how to conserve toilet paper.
Four square minimum. Maximum. Go. Skip Josie. Skip. Kobe.
We can cut the grass.
Oh, yes, I love it. Oh, elderly's grass. Cole, Josie.
Go back to you.
Okay, we can
I have one.
Play board games.
We can clean the house.
Play Survivor.
Ooh.
Watch Survivor.
Binge watch Survivor. That's a great one. We can all learn how to do creative desserts. And all. Oh, you've already said that, haven't you?
No, I did.
I'm going to have to work, too. Josie, Mama.
We can record podcasts.
Have fun.
We can work out.
That's a good one. I think our time is up. All right. So today we're talking about how to take a timeout. So when anger is boiling over, when your blood begins to boil over, it's always good to try to de-escalate the situation. Many times, you can't de-escalate the situation while you're in that emotional state, because what happens is as we begin to get aggravated, as we begin to fight, as we begin to argue over things in marital conflict, then our emotions begin to take over. So what scientifically happens is that stimulus hits our amygdala. It bypasses the reasonable, rational thinking part of our brain called the neocortex, and it goes right to the amygdala, which is our emotional processor. It's the same thing that happens when you're probably familiar with a fight or flight syndrome. So when an emotional processor hits, the fight or flight syndrome takes over, and it allows you to get through the situation. Well, the same thing happens in arguing and in fights. We call it the flat brain syndrome. Your brain flattens out. You can't hear anything right. You can't see anything right. You can't smell anything right. Your partner, your spouse cannot look, do, say anything right. No. Because you're flat brain. Your emotions have taken over. You're not thinking correctly. And so there's no way in an emotional argument like that, because what happens, there's no way you're going to be able to think logically to right. de-escalate the situation, because what happens is you both get flat-brained. We call it the flat-brain tango. It's a dance. Man, I say something, and she gets upset, flat-brained. She can't think anymore. Then she says something back at me. Boom, I'm flat-brained. I can't think anymore. And we just get out of our wits. And you probably know what we're talking about.
I'm sure nobody goes through that but us.
Nobody but us. So we're sharing with you our unique situation.
Yes. Yeah.
So what you want to try to do in any situation like that is de-escalate it. Yeah. You cannot de-escalate while you're flat brained.
No.
It is very difficult.
Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And that's easier said than done when you're in the heat of an argument. We want mm-hmm. to be able to respond in a gentle way that will help our spouse de-escalate mm-hmm. or de-escalate ourselves. But harsh words tend to come out when we're in the heat of the moment, and that mm-hmm. just stirs up more and more anger, and we enter into this cycle, this tango, this dance of you say something, I say something, and now we're both saying harsh words. And sometimes we just need a self-imposed quarantine mm-hmm. To allow ourselves to settle down and honestly prevent the spread of just anger and venom and hostility that we just tend to pass back and forth mm-hmm. between us, and it's infectious. Mm-hmm. So what do we do? How do we de-escalate? And how do you take a timeout if you recognize you need it?
Yeah, the timeout is the key. It's important. And the first thing, I think, is Bonnie, what you just said, is we have to recognize our need for a timeout. And how do you do that? Now, there's a lot of steps we're going to give here. So I think we'll attach something to the podcast page on our website or on social, maybe with all these things listed for you. And so I'm just kind of thinking out loud. We're going to do that. But recognize first your need for a timeout. Mm-hmm. And that is really difficult when you're flat brain. Mm-hmm. Why? Because when you're arguing and you have one goal, and that's to what?
To win.
To win. Yep. You are no longer on the same team. Mm-hmm. You're no longer on the same side. You're in a battle. Mm-hmm. And in battles, you pull out the big guns. You pull out knives and swords. You just want to win. And the last thing you want to do is retreat. Because if you retreat, then what? You've lost.
Yeah.
And so we say that in marital conflict, there's no such thing as I win, you lose. That if one of us wins in marital conflict, the relationship is lost.
We've both lost.
So first you have to recognize your team, your need for a timeout.
We all have different signs for that. I mean, some people, they start yelling. They can tell they're starting to escalate because they're yelling, or they clench their fists, or their heart rate rises, and they can't think straight. But then there's the other side of that where some people just start shutting down. Mm-hmm. They might want to withdraw. They might feel like, okay, I'm just going to get quiet. I know men sometimes have a harder time formulating their words and getting them out. So they shut down. They feel like they're just being beat down. So they quit. They mm-hmm. pull back. They're like, all right, I'm done. And they notice, okay, I'm not engaging anymore. And the wife's like, why aren't you talking to me?
One of two things happen with men. We either shut down, which is typically what I do. I just don't talk. I get very quiet. Or we get abusive with our words. And it's the exact opposite, that the pendulum swings to the other side.
But you know your signs. You can tell. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, you can tell when your heart rate's starting to rise, or when that lump in your throat comes, or you feel like you've been hit in the stomach. We all have those signs. There are warning lights that are going off saying, okay, I need to do something now, or I'm going to say something stupid.
Yeah, I think a good sign to recognize that it's time to take a step back and take a time out is there's this imaginary line that we step over. So when we're arguing about the issue, we're presenting our case, we're trying to solve the issue. And when we step over that line and we start attacking the person instead of attacking the issue, then that's the sign.
Yeah.
Okay. When I start using statements like "you always" or "you never" or "your mama,"
don't you talk about my
then,
mama.
Then I love your mama. Then that's a good sign that, okay, this argument has changed. Now we're fighting each other and not the issue. And I think that's when you need to recognize your need for a timeout. So that's the first one. The second thing is you've got to request a timeout. And if the person requests it, granting it. So requesting or granting a timeout.
Well, request it for yourself. Let's clarify. Because the last thing that I want to happen is for somebody to look at me and say, oh, you need a timeout.
No. You need to, it doesn't help for me to look at you and say, okay, you need to step back.
Yeah.
You need to take a break. No. Always request a timeout for yourself. Now, maybe you're in an argument and you notice that your spouse is flat brain and you've got enough wits about you for the next few seconds to notice you need a timeout. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're the ones that really need a timeout. Don't request it for them. Request it for yourself, even though you feel like you're okay.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, listen, I think maybe we need to take a time out. We need a break and request it.
Yeah. Well, and I know sometimes people argue differently and somebody's going to be like, no, we got to stay in this. We got to talk this out. We're going to hash through this. You just are running away. And this is not what we're talking about, is not avoiding the problem. Mm-mm. Because I know when we first got married, I would, you know, I've figured out about myself, if I start arguing, I say stuff that I really don't mean. So I've figured out I need to back off and I need time to think about it. And you were like, wait a minute, no, we need to talk about it. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to solve it. And I don't know if I wanted to solve it so much as I wanted to win and just
be done.
Get it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be done with it.
But it never ends well when you pursue and I'm not in the mood for that. And I'll be honest with you, there are certain times of the month I can't think as straight. Females have that.
And again, I'm not going to mention that.
No.
Bring that up.
But that's, I know for that, for me, that I'm more emotional. I tend to not think as clearly. I have a harder time seeing through my emotion to be able to think through what is a rational way to solve this. And so I know that about myself. So at that point, when I say, all right, I need a timeout, my timeout might be, I need 2 days of a timeout because I need to think through this. And it's not an avoidance thing, but it's a, I really want to be able to solve this in a way that's productive and not that I have to take a bunch of stuff back. Because once you've said stuff, it's out there. And I know that about myself. And it's just creating some social distancing until it's safe to come back together again. And and solve it. And
well, and I think men have those times of the month too. It's just not as scientific, and they don't sell products to help men with that kind of thing. There's no male products, feminine products for that.
Well, if you're going to do that, if you are going to say we need a timeout at that point, so that you're not just running from it and sweeping it under the rug, you need to go ahead and make an appointment. Say, look, I want to talk about this, but I need some time, and let's talk about this in 2 days. Or
whoever calls the timeout makes the appointment, and don't make it too far out. I mean, 2 days might be the max, even at that. I'd say within, if you can, 24 hours of it. Mm-hmm. And put it on the calendar, and with the appointment, be specific. Say, hey, okay, tomorrow night after we put the kids to bed, let's finish this.
Yeah.
And let's talk about this. And so a lot of people will bring up, but the Bible says to not let the sun go down on your anger. And so that, I guess that means that if you start your argument after the sun goes down, then you're already sinned.
Yeah.
Now, the spirit of that verse isn't so much the actual sun going down or going to bed that night. The spirit of that verse is solve it, resolve it. Don't sweep it under the rug. Don't let it go by. Don't sit on it for too long and let it, you know, build bitterness and resentment in your heart, but to solve it. And so sometimes if you're arguing at night, the best thing you can do is to go on and just go to bed.
Yeah.
Because honestly, half the time I wake up and I have a change of heart or I don't remember what we were arguing about. Sometimes I wake up and I'm still ticked at you. Kind of like when you have those dreams that I did something mean and you wake up and you're mad at me.
Sorry, I can't control that.
So so anyway, if you're arguing it in late at night, go to bed, make a timeout, call a timeout, put the date on the calendar to resolve it, resume it.
And then the third thing that you do, once you've gotten that timeout, you need to relax and you need to calm yourself down.
You need to recenter.
Yeah, and do something that helps you relax. I mean, different people have different ways of dealing with stress.
Let's talk about what we don't need to do first.
Let's not go do something unhealthy in that process.
Yeah, don't run and call your girlfriends if you're a girl and say, you know what he did, girl. You know, don't call your mama or your dad. Don't call a relative.
Well, it's not a time. A timeout is not a time to go build your argument and think through, oh, I should have said this and I should have said that and, oh, I'm going to get him with this. And you're not building up your argument against your spouse here. You're
not restocking your ammunition.
No, this is time to calm down and time to relax and just clear your head and do something healthy that will help you do that.
Yep. So when we say don't call a friend if you have a healthy friend, a godly friend that's going to let you look objectively at this thing. If you have a yes man, don't call your yes man. Mm-hmm. Call that friend that you can go deep with and that can sometimes take your heart out and show it to you.
Yeah.
And so, Bonnie, I know you've had that.
I've had that friend, and we meet to pray together weekly, and there are times that I will be so mad, and she will pull back that curtain.
I mean, you're not mad at me, though.
Of course not. And she'll pull back the curtain of my heart and say, yes, but it's the last thing I want to hear in that moment. Mm-hmm. But she loves me enough to look at me and say, what's your part in this? Mm. And when she does that, 9 times out of 10, I come back to you and say, okay, I'm sorry.
We all have a part to play.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But she helps me see my own heart and be able to evaluate that, not just build a new argument.
Don't include alcohol in your calm down. That's never good. You want things that's going to help drive you back to health and drive you back to proper thinking. So what are some of those things you can do? And we'll do the best things first. We'll list them. I think the first thing, obviously, is, man, talk to your creator. Pray. And those don't have to be formal prayers. Those can be what we call breath prayers, just praying like you're talking to a friend. Pray.
Well, sometimes I will sit down with my journal and I'll vent to God. I'll vent to God about all
this. Why did you bring this jerk into my life?
And then I look to scripture and see, okay, what does God say to this situation? It might not even be about that situation. It might just be putting scripture in my mind. Calms me down, brings me back to center, reminds me of who God is and who I am and who I don't want to be in this argument.
Yeah, listen to some worship music.
Yeah.
And those things right there are the things you're not going to want to do.
Mm-mm.
You want our natural tendency, our flesh, as Paul calls it in the New Testament, is going to want us to do things that's going to build our case, that's going to get us madder at this person. But we've got to drive ourselves towards health and towards proper thinking. So all those things are good. Then also just some really, really good things that, like, go for a walk, go for a run. I have solved a lot of problems with my running shoes out on the road. I mean, I have solved a lot of the world's problems.
For me, it helps just get outside in nature.
Yeah.
When the sun is shining, unlike the last few months here, but it helps me to just get outside and just be quiet.
Watch TV, binge watch something. Go to sleep.
Things
like that. Work out, whatever you do. And everybody has different things, but you've probably had things going through your mind the past minute as we're talking about this. What are those things that you do that helps kind of recenter you and refocus you, or helps? Maybe you need to go get a massage. Maybe you need to just go do something fun. Maybe you need to listen to Marriage Adventure Podcast. I don't know. Great things like that. But recenter yourself.
But once you're in a calm state of mind, then the next thing you need to do, number four, would be reevaluate the conversation or the argument you're having. Think about what are you really, at the core of it, what are you really trying to communicate to your spouse? What is it you want them to understand? What is it you most want out of the resolve of this? Sometimes we get so lost in winning an argument, we forget and we don't communicate properly. Look, here's what I would really like, and here's why. Here's my heart behind this. We lose ourselves in the emotion of it, and we're not able to present it in a way that our spouse can hear it because we're so emotionally charged. And so reevaluate, what is it that I'm really trying to say?
And try to find a different way to say it.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if you said it one way and it led to an argument, maybe there's a different way to say it. And then I think it's also important during this break to reevaluate your spouse's point of view and what they're feeling. Their point of view might not be right.
Yeah.
Yours might not be right. But we love our spouse, and what they're feeling is important to us.
Yeah.
And maybe their point of view is right because we have differences and there's things that you see that I don't.
Yeah.
So I need to be open to that. Now, that goes against the grain of wanting to win.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. You're still going to win, because if you can find win-win solutions, then the marriage wins. And that's what you want. You want the relationship to win, not you as an individual.
Well, and if you come back to me after a timeout and you say, okay, listen, you've got a humble heart in that process, and you come to me and say, look, I don't necessarily agree with some of the stuff you said. You know, when you come back, it might be starting off with an apology for what you
said. Sure, especially if you've hurt your spouse and you've kind of stabbed them.
But if you say, look, I want to find a win-win solution to this, and I want to understand your point of view, and you come back to the table with a, hey, let's compromise, and you're willing to compromise, man, my heart's already on the table. And I'm like, okay, how do we do this? Let's do this together. And a lot of times how I come back to that conversation is your approach that you take. And we can, if we have a gentle answer to our spouse, it will turn away wrath, or it turns away anger. And it's the beginning point of a good conversation that might actually solve something.
It's amazing how we can have different viewpoints on something. But if you or if I approach it with the way we phrase things and the way we say things, it's all the difference in the world. It's just it's what we did a podcast on not so long ago called Speak Life, and it's just, you can say the same thing, you can feel totally different. I may not even view that thing the same way, but if you say it in a way that makes me feel like you've heard my feelings, you've heard my thoughts on it, and you're open to win-win solutions. Because for most of the stuff that we argue about, I don't know, I'd be making up percentages to say, but most of the stuff we argue about, there's probably not a right or wrong solution.
Yeah,
it could go your way, it could go my way. Now, there's an occasion that there is a right way to do something, but most of the time, the right thing to do is what we agree on.
And
here's the thing. If I present a solution and you're like, okay, let's try yours, then we try mine. And if it doesn't work, then we try yours. Or a lot of times we can meet in the middle.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what you want to have, that kind of heart when you come back and talk.
Right.
A heart willing to be able to meet in the middle, even if, you know.
Well, and then probably the most important part of this, after you have calmed down and thought through everything, is resuming the conversation. We don't want to avoid it. We definitely want to make that appointment, but then you've got to keep your appointment to start the conversation again and come back to the table and figure out a way to work through this. And now, if it's something that got really emotionally charged, you might want to make an appointment to over dinner somewhere in public.
You might need to speak with a counselor or a pastoral counselor.
Yeah.
At the minimum, to be able to help.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
It's not.
We tend to think there's a stigma about, oh, I need counseling. Well, sometimes we just need an objective
third party,
who's not emotionally charged about the situation to help us sort through what's emotion and what's a real way to handle things. So you also, when you come back together, you don't want to be tired, you don't want to be hungry, you don't want to, the things that are triggers for you that are emotional, like I said, make sure it's not that emotional time of a woman's month, and Think through that when you
Again, men, you don't bring that up.
Yes, but you think through what's the best, what are the conditions that are going to be the best possible way to have this conversation.
And we typically say, have this conversation in public. Have it over dinner. Because it's you're probably not going to get up and yell and scream and stomp away from the table over dinner. You're probably going to try to keep it more civil.
Well, you're more well-behaved in public,
that's
typically.
Right. You got to keep a facade, man.
Yeah. And then use good communication skills. Go in it, like we said, with that heart to, I really want to hear you out, which is hard, rather than I really want him to hear me out. Mm-hmm. Go into it with, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to hear your response before I'm already thinking of my, I want to hear what you're saying before I come up with my own, Mm-hmm. Don't be thinking through, here's my argument, but let's actually listen to each other and try to understand perspective and hear their heart on it.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is the biggest thing. Remember, you're on the same team. Mm-hmm. Remember, at the end of the day, this is the person that you have chosen to live life with and go through life with and finish life with.
Yeah.
And this is the person that you chose to go in on a mortgage with.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you're on the same team, and you don't want to divide this team. So don't get selfish about this argument you're having.
Yeah.
Remember, you want the marriage to win. You don't want individuals to win. And if you can keep that at the forefront, then maybe it can kind of help temper your emotions.
Well, the whole point of this quarantine we're under is to take some time out to reevaluate, to isolate the problems, and for people to reevaluate it and to think through it and come up with solutions and mm-hmm. to quarantine the problem. And then hopefully in a couple of weeks when we all come back together, we'll have figured it out. Mm-hmm. We'll have taken some of the unhealthy things off the table so we can come back together and function in a healthy society again.
So as for coronavirus, the best thing to do, they said, was to wash your hands. Keep your hands clean. It won't spread it. All right, ready? I'm going to make a tie here. You ready?
Yeah.
A timeout is a way to clean up your heart.
Ooh.
So you don't spread the hatred. See
That's
what
good.
I did there?
That's good.
So take
That's
a
good.
Timeout, man. Make sure your heart's clean. Make sure your motives are clean. Make sure, you know, all that is in check before you come back together. So.
Well, that's all for this week, and thank you for joining us, and we hope that you're staying inside, staying quarantined and safe and healthy, and if you're looking for something to do, you can binge listen to our podcast if you haven't already caught up with those.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you, we also have a YouTube channel, so you can go to YouTube and search The Marriage Adventure, and new content comes out every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. They're little 5 to 6 minute videos. And so they're easy to watch and easy to discuss with your spouse. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or if you have anything to say to us, you can email us at info@themarriageadventure.com. You guys have a safe week and a great week, and we'll chat with you later. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Then head on over to Facebook and Instagram and give us a follow. Have a great week.